Well, today, as you know, it's the Sunday before Christmas. And even as we've been preparing to celebrate Christ's birth during the Advent season, I really want to invite you today to really refocus during this busy time of year. I know a lot of us might be busy with the hustle and bustle. Maybe, you know, our kids are in some, I don't know, Christmas parties, or they were, or maybe, like, you know, we're planning for some family gatherings, or we're trying to, you know, buy gifts, or you know, just prepare for the holidays. But I really want to invite you to use this time that we have this afternoon to really quiet ourselves and to refocus as to really why we celebrate Christmas. And also to really ask you to see God's heart through the retelling of the birth of Christ. You know, as believers, you know, we know that Christmas isn't about Santa Claus, and, you know, it's not about reindeer or snowmen, or you know, those things are cute, and, you know, it's nice kids' stories and cartoons that sometimes we may let our kids participate or watch in, or, you know, make believe or whatever. You know, and, you know, we know it's not about the gifts, right? We know it's not about the Christmas parties or all the yummy food around the dinner table. But it's so easy to get caught up in this busyness. And for some of us, you know, Christmas actually might be a hard time, you know, especially, you know, if we've lost loved ones. So I want to acknowledge that it's not always the happiest season or always the happiest time. You know, some of us might be, even this week, Even actually today, someone was asking Cheryl, "Where's my Christmas card?" You know, and so you know, we apologize. We don't have a Christmas card. I know some of you are really good about Christmas cards, Christmas letters, but you know, but we're so caught up in, like, these things that we're supposed to do, you know, like a Christmas card, a Christmas letter, you know, pictures of the family or whatever. And actually, it was her mom that was like, "Where's my Christmas card?" I think she thought that we forgot, but we didn't actually have one this year, you know. But it's just like this expectation or anticipation that actually the world places on us. You know, like all of these things that we do because of Christmas, these are all of these things are actually man-made. Like, no one says you have to give gifts, right? No one says you have to string lights. I mean, although it's pretty, right? No one says you have to light candles or decorate. It's really pretty. But really, I want to invite you all to focus in on the real meaning of Christmas, you know, and to really ask God to really purge our thoughts of all of the stuff that's really not why we celebrate Christmas. You know, so I really want to ask you to think about all of the Christmas images that you may have right now, even the good or even the bad, but to really go back to Scripture. And, you know, we'll read both passages in Matthew and Luke today. But I really want to re-anchor on the truth of God's word, but also go beyond that as to really what is on God's heart. Why the birth of Jesus? Why do we celebrate Christmas? So I'm just going to open up in a word of prayer, and I'm going to invite you to join me. So God, we come before you this afternoon, and God, we just want to ask, Lord, that you, Holy Spirit, come, and you just come and come to our minds, Lord, and come to our memories, Lord, of all of the ways that the world may have polluted our thinking of Christmas and why we celebrate, Lord, and the reasons why. Father, we ask, God, that you would come and speak to us from your word today, that you would show us the real reason of why we celebrate your son's birth. And God, that even beyond that, that you would see, you would show us what is on your heart, that we would be able to see, God, why it is that, Jesus, you came to this earth 2,000 years ago. So, Lord, we invite you here right now. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, I know that, you know, a lot of us have been believers for some time. Maybe some of us are newer believers, but, you know, a lot of us know about the Christmas story. You know, we've read passages of Scripture. You know, some of us may have participated in some nativity scenes or some plays or whatever. But, you know, I just wanted to take a quick closer look. You know, and when we look at the Scriptures, right, you'll actually discover actually two things. Actually, no one gospel tells you everything about the birth of Christ. And actually, some gospels don't even tell you anything. You know, it's really, out of the four gospels, only two of them, Matthew and Luke, actually chronicle the events surrounding the birth of Christ. I don't know if that's a little bit surprising, but you know, it's like out of all four of the Gospels, only two of them chronicle the birth of Jesus, right? Because Mark starts off right away with John the Baptist preparing the way and baptizing Jesus. Both of them are already adults. And then John begins with the Word becoming flesh and making his dwelling among us. And he doesn't really go into the details of Jesus' birth. And for Matthew, you know, one of the two books that does go into the narrative of Jesus' birth, you know, Matthew chapter 1, you know, you remember it starts off with the elaborate analogy, right, tracing Jesus back to King David and Abraham. And he's writing, actually the writer Matthew, he's writing to the Jews, and he's showing how Jesus' birth is actually a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. You know, Matthew's account, as we'll read later, starts with an angel appearing to Joseph in a dream. The wise men come to worship bearing gifts fit for a king. And then it talks about also the murderous acts of King Herod. And actually, the family fleeing to Egypt, you know, they fled, right? They fled their nation to Egypt. They were actually like refugees, right? And they eventually returned after King Herod dies. There's no mention of shepherds or even the manger scene in the Gospel of Matthew. And it's not until the Gospel of Luke that, you know, Luke's birth narrative actually is the longest and has the most details. You know, it starts off, Luke, the physician, actually wrote the Gospel primarily for a Gentile audience. And he really focuses on the traditionally marginalized and neglected groups of society. So, you know, he gives special attention to the women in the story. You know, he talks about the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary. Gabriel doesn't appear to Joseph, but he appears to Mary. And Luke records both Elizabeth and her cousins Mary's words of praise and blessings. He also mentions the quote-unquote homeless state of Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem, and he describes the manger scene. You know, and then he also talks about the shepherds, seeing the angel. And these are lowly shepherds in the field, right? The angels don't appear to the rich and privileged. They appear to the shepherds. They don't appear to the wise men in Matthew's account. It's the ordinary shepherds who witness the glorious event in the fields. And they become the first messengers of God's peace and goodwill towards men. And it's also striking to see how Luke focuses on worship surrounding the birth of Christ. We see later that Luke talks about Mary and Zechariah's worship and praise to God, the heavenly hosts and the shepherds praising God. And then when Jesus is presented in the temple, Luke talks also about Simeon's worship before, during, and after the birth of Jesus. A beautiful picture of worship. Now, again, like I said, we're going to read both accounts from Matthew and Luke. But I want to just, again, once again, invite you to ask the Lord, as we read together, I know they're both longer passages, just ask the Lord to speak to us about that first, well, what we call now Christmas, as we celebrate Christ's birth, right? So let's read from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to chapter 2 to 12. So I'm going to invite you to stand. And if you get tired, you can sit down, because we're going to read from both versions in Matthew and Luke. Okay. So let's go to Matthew chapter 1. All right. This is how, let's all read it together. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. But he did not consummate their marriage until after he gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and it came to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them what the Messiah was to be born. They replied, "For this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him.' They went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." Now let's go to the passage in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby in cloths and lying in a manger." Appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Thank you. Please be seated. I know we read quite a bit. But you know, these two are the narratives as found in Scripture of the birth of Jesus. Now, I don't know about what you think of when you think about the birth of Christ, but in many traditional nativity scenes, Christmas plays, or even holiday Hallmark cards, they place actually the visit of the Magi along with the shepherds in the manger scene, right? And so, you know, up until probably a few years ago, I thought, oh, they kind of like went hand in hand. You know, first came the shepherds and then the Magi came, or vice versa. But actually, did you realize that the shepherds and the wise men standing around the manger is really just Hallmark's attempt to fit them on one card? It really wasn't like that. You know, as we just read, you know, we see that the Magi that are mentioned in Matthew and the shepherds that are mentioned in Luke, they actually appeared, I mean, they came to visit Jesus at different times. In Matthew 2, chapter 1, it said, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, which implies a time gap. You know, when word reached King Herod, you know, he assembled his advisors, who consulted the Magi, and then he dismissed him to Bethlehem. But it would be nearly impossible to fit what they had done in the gap between the birth and the angelic appearance of the shepherds. You know, by the time the Magi actually appeared to see Jesus, perhaps even 1 or 2 years, at least months, if not days or years, passed between when Jesus was actually born. And he would have been a toddler. And, you know, actually in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, it describes Jesus as a child and living in a house by the time that the Magi went to visit him. So I think sometimes, you know, in our minds, even we as believers, we think, oh, you know, if you go to like a nativity scene like Bethlehem, you know, they the shepherds and then the Magi, that's not really how it was like, you know. Herod's calculation of the star and his order to kill all the newborn boys under the age of 2 points to his understanding that this Messiah was already perhaps 1 or 2 at that time, right? And the other thing is, you know, I think I wanted to also point out is really God's heart, right? And is how God chose to reveal this biggest news, to announce the birth of his son, his one and only beloved son. You know, it's interesting that he chose to announce the birth of his son to who? To the shepherds, right? As we read in Luke 2. You know, it wasn't to the religious leaders of that day. It wasn't to the Pharisees. It wasn't to the Sadducees. It wasn't to the teachers of the law. You would think that those would be kind of God's maybe favorite people. It wasn't to the pastors of the day, right? It wasn't in the synagogue. It wasn't in the temple. But it was to who? It was to shepherds in the field, right? And also the star that led to Magi from the east, right? So these two different distinct groups of people, right? Totally opposite, right? We've got shepherds who are tending flock, who are probably very ordinary, sometimes maybe even considered social outcasts, maybe just laborers, right? As we would seem today, you know, oh, those are just day laborers or whatever. They're probably poor, uneducated, uncultured, definitely smelly, right? Because they're around sheep all day long, right? You know, they were probably the rough characters of the small town on the fringe of society that people didn't really want to associate with them. You know, so much that their testimony was not even admissible in a court of law back in those days. You know, and also because their work tending sheep was considered ceremonially unclean, they were probably not even allowed to go into the temple courts to be an active part of temple worship. But yet somehow, God, in his wisdom, in his big infinite plan, decided to send his angels to announce to these shepherds who were tending their flock at night to tell them of the greatest news, that Jesus was going to be born. Think about that. Why would God do that? What is the heart of God? It wasn't to the religious people. It was really to those that were on the fringe. It was really to the outcasts. It was really to those that were just out there, people who didn't notice them. And on the other extreme, you have the Magi, right? What do we know about the Magi? They're probably very learned astrologers who studied the sky, right? They saw the star, right, that was leading them to the They were from the east, leading them to Palestine at that time, right? We don't know exactly where they were from. Perhaps they were from Persia or southern Arabia. Some say east of Palestine, some say Babylonia. I was reading and doing some research. Some said maybe even China. I was like, wow, maybe they were Chinese. I don't know, ethnic bias, but okay, that's not biblical, okay? So again, erase that image. I don't know if they were Chinese, God knows, but they were from afar. They were learned people, right? But again, they weren't even Jewish, right? They weren't Jewish, but yet God chose to tell these people from afar, from a different country. They could have been from multiple countries. And you know, we always think, the hymn or the Christmas carol, we three kings of Orient. Okay, Orient, that doesn't mean China, okay? But the East, and we don't even know if it was three kings, right? It was just because they presented three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? But there's all these traditions over the years that somehow have clouded our minds of what Christmas is about. And I think today part of the message is, let's ask God to purge from our minds all the things that Christmas is not about, and to keep and to cling to his word what Christmas is really about. Why would God involve other people groups and tell them about the birth of his son? They were from the east. Why would God care about people from the east if he was a God of the Jews, right? But yet, again, just like the shepherds, he decided to involve these magi from the east who followed the star. First, they went to Jerusalem to ask King Herod, hey, where is this king of this Messiah? King Herod obviously felt threatened, as we read. He actually asked the leaders of the law to tell him. And of course, those religious leaders said, oh, well, the Old Testament, the prophecy says in Bethlehem, that's where the Messiah would be born. And so because of that, the Magi followed the star to Bethlehem. And then, of course, we read and we know that Herod basically tells them, well, once you find out where he is, tell me so I too can go worship him. But of course, that's not what Herod wanted to do. Herod felt threatened and he wanted to, kill this Messiah, right? And that's why he had all of the young babies, 2 and under, massacred, right? Once the Magi didn't go back to him. But we see really from just these two people groups, or these two groups of people, God's heart. Right, a lot of times we think Christmas, oh, that's nice. The story of Jesus, the manger scene, the whole, the nativity, the animals, the camels, the donkey, the sheep. It's so cute. It's so pristine. The angelic beings. It's such a pretty picture. And we think that, yes, Jesus came to die for you and I. But really, God's heart doesn't stop there. God's heart, yes, is for you and I. Yes, Jesus came, John 3:16, right? For God, but what does it say? For God so loved the world, right? God doesn't just love you and I. He loves the world. That's why he chose to tell the greatest news, to announce the news to the shepherds, the lowliest of the lowliest. That's why he sent the star to the wise men from the east, right? Even though it wasn't the nation of Israel. God's heart is beyond what you and I know. God's heart is beyond you and I. Over the last 4 weeks, as we've been preparing for Christmas, we've been celebrating Advent. We've been talking about Advent and how Advent is a time of preparation. And over the last 4 weeks, if you've been with us, we've had different brothers and sisters come and lead the Advent candle lighting. And this year, we've done something very unique. We've actually asked people from different language groups to come light the Advent candles. The first week, we had some of our Chinese-speaking brothers and sisters lead us. The second week, Kidani and his family, who are from Eritrea, They led us in Tigrinya, their native language, right? And then last week, our Hispanic brothers and sisters led us in Spanish. And then today, you heard from our Vietnamese brothers and sisters. God's heart isn't just for you and I. God's heart is for the world. God's heart is for the people that have yet to hear about this miraculous birth of Jesus. You know, in each of these people that have been represented up here, and even within the New Vine community, we each have unique individual stories to tell. We each have unique individual stories of how God has been so good to us, how God has, some of us rescued us from war, some of us rescued us from persecution. You remember last year, we celebrated when Kidani's family came from Eritrea. You'll remember that just a year ago, you know, a few weeks ago, you know, his family was up here lighting one of these candles. But you'll remember that last year, we were praying for them as, you know, Sharon and Kalher were smuggled across the border. You'll remember how God, you know, miraculously brought Tigisti and Kabel across the border. Right, you remember those stories, you know, but each one of us represents a story of God's love in our lives. You know, even last week, you know, as our Hispanic brothers and sisters, you know, representatives from Mexico, from Colombia, from El Salvador, from different countries. This is really what God's heart is about. It's not just, yes, Jesus came to die for me. Yes, that's true, and we celebrate that. But really, God's heart is really for the world. God's heart is for the nations. And it's so nice to see that in New Vine, we have actually a slice of what heaven will be like. You know, as I quickly just thought of you guys, as I quickly kind of tried to count where ethnically we're from, I counted 19 countries represented in this local body. Isn't that beautiful? 19 countries. Yes, all of us are here in the U.S. Yes, we have Americans, we have Canadians, we have people from Mexico, El Salvador, Colombia, we have people from Slovakia, right? And George, I counted you, Greek, okay? We have people from Eritrea, right? China, and I know the Asian contingent is a little big, but we're praying that God would increase other segments of the nation, the world as well. China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, Japan, Korea, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, Myanmar, Singapore, India, 19. I could be wrong. There could be more. 19 countries at least represented here, and probably different language groups as well. But this is the body that Jesus is creating right here in our midst. You know, when we started New Vine 3 years ago, we didn't know who God was going to bring. We just wanted to plant a church to reach out. We just wanted to plant a church so that all peoples, no matter if you're poor, if you're filthy, if you're rich, no matter if you're learned, if you're whatever, could come to a saving knowledge of who Jesus is. That is the heart of this local body. And really, that is the story and the true meaning behind Christmas. Is yes, it's nice. The nativity scene is nice. Yes, Jesus came for me. But it doesn't stop there. As we think about Advent and preparing to celebrate the birth of Christ this week, we also want to prepare ourselves really for Christ's return. Yes, we celebrate Jesus as a baby in a manger. We celebrate his first coming. But we also, for Advent, we look forward to his second coming. We know that there will be one day when our glorious King will come back and he will return, his second coming of Christ. And I want to point you to a few verses in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 12. And, you know, this is really the continuation of the story that Jesus is writing, of really the second coming as we look forward to welcoming back the King. Revelation chapter 7, 9 to 12. I'm just going to read this. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." One day, when Jesus comes back, all peoples will bow down and worship him. Verse 9, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, including you and I. It's such a beautiful picture of that glorious day. But it started 2,000 years ago when Jesus came in fleshly form. God with us, Emmanuel, God incarnate in the form of a human being. But it doesn't stop there. It continues through you, through what God has done in your life, how the Lord revealed himself to you. How many of us became Christians here in the U.S.? Right? Look at these hands, right? A lot of us met Jesus here in this country. Some of us are immigrants, right? Some of us weren't born here. Some of us were, right? But imagine, remember again how you met the Lord and how the Lord's heart is for you. But again, it doesn't just stop there. It's really ultimately so that every nation, tribe, people, and language will know that Jesus is Lord. And so I want to challenge you today, brothers and sisters, that as we celebrate Jesus and his birth, that it wouldn't just stop with, okay, that's great, Jesus is here, woohoo, you know, we celebrate Christ. But why did Jesus come? Yes, he came for you and I, and we are so thankful. But he also came for those that have not yet heard. He also came for our neighbors. He also came for those that are different, for our classmates. He also came for those that may look different, that might have a different educational background, that may speak a different language. He also came for those on shoreline, the RV residents, right? Some of them who we met a few weeks ago. He also came for the nations. And it's really our prayer that New Vine would be a place where not just 19 ethnic groups would come together, but hundreds of ethnic groups, hundreds of languages, just like what it says, every nation, tribe, people, and language would come and worship our Lamb. A beautiful picture of what is to come. You see the empty seats around you? There's plenty of room for people to come and meet Jesus. But it takes you and I to know that Jesus didn't come for just me, but Jesus came for the world. Jesus came for my neighbor. And it takes you and I to share. You know, remember what the shepherds said or what they did? What did it say? Okay, Luke 2:15. Actually, no, Luke 2:20. After they saw Mary and Joseph and Jesus lying in the manger, what did they do? Verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Right? They basically, I misspoke. It's actually also 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds were so joyous to see this baby that they told people around them. Right? They were so happy. My challenge to you today, brothers and sisters, if you welcome the King, if you welcome baby Jesus, I pray that we would have that same joy, that same willingness to share with those of us, those around us, the joy, the peace, the love that we have in Jesus. So that's my Christmas wish and blessing for all of us as a New Vine family, that we would remember that Jesus' heart is really for the nations. You know, we're going to do something special today. We're going to light the Christ candle. Normally, we light it on Christmas or Christmas Eve, but we're not going to meet on Christmas or Christmas Day. So we're going to do this together as a family. And then we're also going to pass out little candles to all of us so that we will light the Christ candle. And then this is going to be a little challenging, but I'm going to ask you to stand up and to somehow form a circle. I know that it's maybe not as conducive, but maybe we can have people around here just to form a circle. We have some candles in the back. We're going to ask to dim the lights a little bit, and then we're just going to, as a body of Christ, light these candles as we celebrate Jesus' birth. So maybe just get out of your seats, and then or maybe it doesn't have to be that. Yeah, thank you. But maybe just gather around, form as well of a circle as you can, and then we will pass out candles, and if you come on the stage, and then we can come on the stage or be around here, but we will do this together as a community, as a body of believers representing at least 19 nations, and we pray that God will increase the number. But we celebrate together as a family. So yeah, come on, everyone. It has to be involved. So everyone get a candle. Mia, come on up. Come on up, everyone. We're all in this together. So make the circle tighter if possible. Do you want to come up to the... Come on, Mia. Yeah, don't be shy. Maybe we tighten it up a little bit because we're going to have to pass the candle. But we're going to do this as an act of worship. It's not just lighting candles. But you know, Jesus is what? The light of the world, right? Jesus came to be our light. You know, Jesus is our light. But Jesus also calls each and every one of us to be light. You know, we live in a very dark world. Jesus calls each and every one of us to be his light. So as we light the candle, the Christ candle, we cannot be light on our own. We need really Jesus to shine his light into our lives so that we can be light to our world around us, to our neighborhoods, to our schools, to our jobs. So that's my prayer also, that we would be, as we light these candles, we will be Christ's light to the world. And as we light, we're also gonna, well, you guys can just, we'll sing, "Oh Come Let Us Adore Him" as we light the candle as well, okay? So let's light the candle together. For him.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Jesus, we thank you for your birth. God, we come before you and we celebrate your birth 2,000 years ago. Jesus, we thank you for coming on this earth, for coming as a babe, for coming as the Son of God to come to die for us, for being God incarnate, for being Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice on that cross for us 2,000 years ago. We thank you, Jesus, for your blood that was shed, for your body that was broken, so that we could have a relationship with God the Father. Thank you, God, for your love for us. Thank you, Lord, that your heart is not only for us, but your heart is for the world, that your heart is for the nations, that your heart is for our classmates, your heart is for our neighbors, your heart is for those that have yet to hear about your love, your peace, and your joy. Jesus, we celebrate you as our light. We thank you for your work in each and every one of our lives, for revealing your light to us, that when we were still in the darkness, you came and you brought us into the light. Jesus, we thank you for each work in our own stories, Lord, that you have done. And we ask, God, that you would continue that work. We ask, God, that you would help us, Lord, to be your light, to be your witnesses where you have placed us. Father, we ask, God, that we would not take your gift for granted, the birth of your Son, that this Christmas would be special because we would be reminded of the real meaning of Christmas, the real gift of your Son, that it's not just for us and our family and friends, but it's also for those that have yet to hear. So God, help us to be like the shepherds. Help us to continue to pass on the good news and to share the light that you have given to us. God, we thank you for this time of celebration. We thank you, Lord, for this time of just celebrating your birth. And even as we continue to fellowship over a meal tonight, would you come and give us your joy, your peace, and your love, and go before us now. Thank you, Jesus, and we celebrate. In your name we pray. Amen.